finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
And we're off and running in today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and the man, the myth, the legend, Scotty Wetzel joins me for the next hour. We'll take you through the world of college and the NFL. Huge slate of college football, Scott, but it starts tonight with the NFL side. A big matchup in New Orleans right now and Jacksonville. Potentially no Trevor Lawrence. The line has indicated that. New Orleans now a 2.5-point favorite over the Jaguars.
Yeah, you know, I got a fantasy, not a fantasy, but a survivor. Well, I got a fantasy too, but I got a survivor pool league I'm in. And, you know, I'm real tempted, Joe, to take the New Orleans Saints tonight. You know, it's not a good week for survivor pools and all those close point spreads. This is one that if it was a Sunday, I would definitely take. But really, it all kind of depends on whether Trevor Lawrence plays. Yeah, line opened up at like 1.5. Then it shot up to 3 when word he wasn't going to play. Then it shot back down to 1.5. And now it's back up to 2.5. I don't know if that's betting or word leaking that maybe Lawrence is not going to play tonight. But either way, I do like the Saints tonight. I think this is a tough spot for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Going over to Europe, staying there twice, right? Coming back, they didn't take the bye. This is kind of like you could work on adrenaline last week, and now I think it's going to hit you this week. And I think they lay an egg tonight.
Yeah, it's an intriguing matchup, Scotty, and we'll talk about last week in regards to both teams. You saw Jacksonville dominate Indianapolis and Gardner Minshew. They jumped up early, never looked back. I've been very impressed, though, in terms of their three-game winning streak, how the consistency in terms of the offensive line and the rushing attack and that defensive front has been able to get quarterback pressures. They forced 3 turnovers and 3 interceptions against Minshew. Whenever you do that and you give your offense short and a short field and more opportunities to score, more times than not, you're going to win ball games. As we welcome in our SiriusXM radio audience to Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel getting you prepped and ready for Thursday night action. You know, it is a critical ball game, I think, for New Orleans, though. And I was on the Saints last week, Scott, when you looked at that performance against Houston. They were a 1.5-point road favorite. Derek Carr throws for 332 yards. But they were absolutely atrocious inside the red zone. I mean, short to intermediate throws, runs when they should have been throwing the football. For me, I look to Jacksonville here, even though it's C.J. Beathard, because I'm just not sold on Dennis Allen in this spot.
I'm not sold on Dennis Allen at all, Joe. He's 18-41 in his head coaching career. 22-35-2 against the spread. That's the fourth worst of head coaches over the last 20 years. Then you really want ammunition. Then you throw in Derek Carr as a favorite. He's just as bad. 17-33-2 against the spread as a favorite. Terrific as an underdog. So this is not an ideal spot on paper, but I've been on the Saints all year. You know, this would be the Cinderella team, that the team that kind of came out of nowhere to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. I don't realistically think that's going to happen, but with their defense being as good as it is, you know, they have the potential to be a really good football team. I don't know what's going on with their offense. You know, they got Olave now, and then you got Thomas back all year. Kamara's back, you know, from his issues off the field. Derek Carr, good quarterback, right? But they can't score. It's amazing. Yeah. They don't score 20 points a game. It's remarkable.
And the total tonight is 40.5. And that's interesting, too, because, you know, Jacksonville has pushed tempo. They dominated last week, got into the 30s against Indianapolis. But New Orleans, as you know, is 6-0 to the under this year, and it dates back to last year. What is the exact number? 10, 11 12. Straight unders?
12-0.
12. Yeah. There you go.
12-0 to the under. 14-1. Yeah. 15-1. 12-0 and 15-1.
I love going against the grain. This total seems a little odd to me. I thought it would be in the area of maybe 38, 38 and a half, 39. 40 and a half has me thinking over. And here's another reason why I like Jacksonville, and we could talk it out. C.J. Beathard is a veteran quarterback. You know, he's not this, you know, garbage type of guy that's just going to roll in like Badgett potentially for the Bears. You know, he's like a Gardner Minshew. As long as the rushing attack is there, I think he can be effective as long, obviously, if he doesn't turn the football over. So, you know, I believe Jacksonville can get me potentially 20 points in this ballgame. If that's the case, can New Orleans get you 23, 24? I mean, we talk about how bad the offense is, but it's not because they're not pushing. Derek Carr threw for over 300 last week. It's the red zone where this offense has failed.
Right. That offense has yet to score more than 21 points all year.
They had
34 against the Patriots, but that was on two defensive touchdowns. But all the other, 13, 20 against the Patriots, 9 against the Bucs, 9 points against the Bucs at home, no less, 17, 20, and 16. Yeah, that's the magic number. Can you get 20 points? You know, it's easier said than done, though, against this Saints defense, as they've allowed under 20 points in 13 of their last 14 games, hence all those unders. So
yeah, unbelievable. It really is. And the card number tonight is 235.5. He blew through that number last week. Like I said, over 300. And that was a Houston Texans defense that started to come into form, but by no means are they elite in terms the tops of the AFC, above average in terms of pass defense, very good in terms of run support. But when you throw for 332, you're supposed to get more than 13 points on the road. So we'll see how it plays out. The other thing that I wanted to bring up in terms of the week, and I wanted to get your take, what is going on with Deshaun Watson? I mean, now this is the potential third straight week that we're not going to see him. He's mentioned and has confirmed that it's a potential rotator cuff strain. It just seems odd to me. He was cleared to play a couple of times, has opted not to play. P.J. Walker gets the win against the top-ranked San Francisco 49ers. What is going on with Cleveland, and do they have a better chance over the past few weeks of playing P.J. Walker?
Well, I was going to suggest that, you know, trade deadline. I brought this up with Ben last week. We kind of semi-joked about it, but it's legit. You know, if the Minnesota Vikings lose this week to San Francisco, right, which you think they would do, they're going to fall to 2-5. Let's say that the Browns can somehow sneak out a win, right, which they should be able to do no matter who's at quarterback. They improved to 4-2. Well, don't forget who was the offensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings the last few years before he became head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and that's Kevin Stefanski. So if the Vikings lose, if they fall to 2-5, and if they decide they're not going to re-sign Kirk Cousins, well, the Cleveland Browns would be the ideal suitor, right, to make a trade if they wanted to do that, because I'm sure the Browns' offense can't be that much different than what Stefanski ran with the Minnesota Vikings. So there is a potential out there for him to be going over there. I don't know if they would hand the keys over to P.J. Walker. You know, good little spot last week. I get that. And listen, he let him down the field when they were trailing. So you got to give him credit for doing that, which is something Justin Herbert couldn't do. But I don't know if they want to hold the, you know, hold hand the whole franchise over to him.
Yeah, we'll see. And maybe the New York Jets go all in. And I know Zach Wilson is winning football games, but you never know. If they believe they could go to the wild card, Kirk Cousins could be a fit. We're just getting started. When we come back, more NFL action.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
And we're back. Lisi and Wetzel breaking down NFL action right here on Sports Grid Radio. Left off talking about the situation with potentially Deshaun Watson and, more importantly, Kirk Cousins. Should Minnesota drop another game here and there over the next couple of weeks, excuse me. I do want to talk a little bit about the New York Giants and Washington this week, Scott. Intriguing line. Washington gets the road win over Atlanta. They step up. They win that ball game by double digits. They shut down Des Ridder in terms of that ball game. Completely ineffective in terms of the second half of that matchup. Laying only 2.5 to Tyrod Taylor and the New York Giants. I'm not sold on Ron Rivera. I think actually Washington would have better upside if they would just chop Rivera and give the reins to Eric Bieniemy. But I actually look to the Giants as potentially being the side this week. And I'm not even looking at that performance Sunday night against Buffalo. I just am more sold on Dable than I am Ron Rivera, and especially back-to-back road games. Even though Sam Howell is playing effective and productive, I'm going to take the Giants plus the 2.5 this week.
I'm not sold on either head coach. The Giants might be the worst coach team in the NFL, not only just from the head coaching standpoint, but from the offensive coordinator who's calling plays in which his quarterback has the ability to audible out. His special teams coach should be renting, not buying, for all the gaffes they've had on special teams. I mean, and the defense basically stinks. So although they did a good job, last week against Buffalo. So I don't know a worst overall coach team on all three sides than the New York Giants. Season's on the line, though. I mean, I don't expect the Giants to do anything anyway. But if you look at their schedule, Joe, it's kind of like Washington at home, winnable. Jets at home, winnable. And then the Raiders, albeit on the road. But that's even winnable. They're 1-5. You know, maybe they could turn things around. It's got to start here. They lose this weekend, 1-6. That's it. They're done. Put a fork in them if you haven't done it already. So it's kind of like a rally the troops type of game for the Giants. I like them as well at home. They tied Washington at home last year, then they won on the road. So Washington's got a recent history of playing fairly well at New York / New Jersey. But who knows with this Commanders team? 1 week they look great, right? They're barely losing a Philadelphia game that if the coach had any guts, they would have won, that they would have went for two. And then the next week they're laying an egg at home against the Chicago Bears. And then last week they're winning at Atlanta. So go figure out this team. It's a weird team.
I will say this, even though they blame Tyrod Taylor for potentially audibling out of that play, that's on Kafka, that's on Dable. You cannot give him authority in terms of that type of situation with 9 seconds on the clock and the ability to take the lead. And think about it, they kicked that field goal at the end of the first half, right? They don't need a touchdown at the end of the game. Then it's 14-12. You're playing for a potential game-winning field goal at the end of regulation. That's how bad that call was. And he's yelling, you have to take accountability. We're not talking about, some first-year head coach. He was coach of the year last year. He's a veteran. He's a veteran coordinator. His first coaching job, but he's been around the league. How you give it to Tyrod Taylor in that type of situation is absolutely ridiculous to me. Just don't know. Dable has been a no-nonsense guy, right? When he was with the Bills, Alabama, he tells it like it is. Even last year. Where is that this year? He takes no accountability. He doesn't, say it's my way or no way in terms of situations like that. He's willing to blame everybody and everybody. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I tell you, and the other thing is, What did he see, Joe? Well, yeah, I know it's old already, but what did Tyrod Taylor see that made him check into a running play? I mean, they're at the goal line. Buffalo's got all 11 guys at the line of scrimmage. There's four guys to the right. I don't know what he said. That would have been my next question. And, you know, the obvious thing is what the hell are you doing running the ball? But the next one would have been, what did you see? There's four or five Buffalo Bills guys right there. You checked into a play in which you ran into five guys. It's funny. If he scores a touchdown, everyone said, oh, what a gutsy call by the Giants. Oh, right. What a great call. You know, who's going to run with 11 seconds left? Oh, way to go. You know, but when it fails, you're an idiot. So, but I said this about Dable at the beginning of the year, before the season began. I said, by the end of the year, they're going to be calling for this guy's head. Last year, everything fit in perfectly. They got the benefit of the doubt. They beat Minnesota somehow, some way, but they actually limped home, went 2-6-1 down the stretch. They were playing horrible football. They backed into the playoffs, but that was all forgotten because they beat the Vikings. But I said, by the end of this year, they're going to be calling for this guy's head, and they're going to be calling for the GM's head because they're going to be killing him for giving up all that money to Danny Nichols, as I like to call him. And you know what? I mean, everything sadly has come to fruition with that.
Yep, bad decision. Awful. And the biggest thing for them, or the negative, was that they overexceeded expectations in year one. Like, if they would have just been 5-12 last year, and they could have moved up from Daniel Jones, potentially gotten a quarterback in terms of the draft, and cultivated like C.J. Stroud, I'm not saying they would have been that bad. But now you have an opportunity to rebuild and have success in year two and year three. When you're in New York, it's go big or go home. So they overexceeded. They had a win total of 7. They get to 9 wins. They get the playoff win. They lose to Philadelphia. And New York Giants fans goes, oh, it can only get better in year two. Well, here we are. Daniel Jones is hurt. The offensive line sucks. And he looks like a rookie out there in terms of his play calling. He doesn't look like he's prepared in any capacity. Wide receivers that they were supposed to help with Daniel Jones, Slayton non-existent. Wandale Robinson potentially can't stay on the field. Darren Waller never hits pay dirt in terms of touchdowns. So you tell me, in terms of the personnel changes as well, if they go potentially, let's just say, throw a number out there, 6-11, what happens then?
Yeah. Top 5 pick, top 6. I don't even think they're going to go 6-11. I mean, they have games on that schedule. That they're not going to beat Dallas. They never do. They're not going to beat the Saints on the road. They're not beating the Eagles, obviously, either one of those two games. And the other games, you know, maybe the Patriots, they get a win. You know, maybe the Jets and Commanders, you know, they get a win over the next couple of weeks. But, you know, you have to believe that if they're a top 5, top 6 team draft-wise and there's a quarterback there, they have to take him. They have to take him no matter what, right? I mean, there's just – you can't – basically, he's got a 4-year deal, Danny Nichols, but they're really kind of locked into him for one more year. Then they can get out without having to pay him too much money after next season. So, well, I would think they would do that.
Well, think about this. If you think they could go on a heater, they are 130-1 right now to win the NFC East. 130-1, Scott. That is unbelievable, isn't it? And when you just think about, you know, they were plus 750 at the start of the year. They are 130-1, not even to win the Super Bowl, to just win the NFC East, to win the conference. Let me give you the updated number. It's ridiculous. Where are they? I can't even get them up right now. I'll get it in break.
But think about this post. Think about this offseason, right? Let's say it projects out to 2, 3, 4 wins, right? And then they finish horrible, 4-13, you know, 3-16, whatever it would be, 15.
180-1. That's what
181. Right.
Yep.
They're off. Think about their offseason. They're going to be, you know, a top 5 selection. All right. They're going to be killing the head coach because he's now a bozo. They're going to be killing the GM because he gave all that money to Danny Nichols. They got to deal with Saquon Barkley again because, remember, he only signed a 1-year contract. So everything they went through this past season, they're probably going to go through again because this year it's going to be even worse because he's not going to have the year that he had last year. You still don't have any wide receivers worth a grain of salt, and your defense stinks. That's what the Giants, you know, are looking at right now for next year.
It's amazing.
It's gonna be, yeah.
It really is amazing. You look at the Giants right now, no offensive identity, offensive line. If you run it every single play, potentially the Giants could be in a ball game. We'll see what Brian Daboll and the New York Giants do the rest of the way. When we come back, we'll dive into some AFC teams right here on Football Full Circle. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Continuing the conversation, we left off talking about Brian Daboll and the New York Giants. Going to transition to the AFC, but keep it, I guess, within the family. Buffalo, 8.5-point favorites over the New England Patriots. And, Scott, I don't know about you, but that was the game that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots needed last week on the road against McDaniels and Las Vegas. I mean, everything was for the taking. You have the football, about 2 minutes left in that ball game. You trail by three. You need to go at least 60, 65 yards to potentially win it and kick a game-winning field goal. And what happens? They get sacked. They lose the ball game. They lose the cover. And now Bill Belichick has a lot of answers to come up with, because I got to be honest with you. He built this team. He stood behind Mac Jones. No offensive weapons. He brings in Bill O'Brien, and this team is the worst that I've seen over the past 15 years.
Yeah, they're worse than they were last year on offense. As bad as they were on offense, right? Only bringing in a defensive guy to be the offensive coordinator, all this other stuff, right? They were better last year than this year. You know, I wonder what Belichick, you know, does he call up Nicky Quick down in Alabama and say, hey, Nick, thanks for that tip a couple of years ago. Thanks for suggesting that I should draft this guy because he sucks. Mac Jones, when opponents score 24 or more points, Joe, has never won a football game in the NFL. 0-14. He's 17-7 when they don't, but they can't score. They did fewest takeaways in the NFL at three.
Here's the thing, and this is the conversation I want to get into. When Mac Jones won the national championship with Nick Saban, I think, you know, and he completed 77% of his passes that year. That was the COVID year, right? We were doing in-game live a lot in terms of watching hours of college football. He had John Metchie, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, okay? That cannot go unrecognized in regards to the talent that he had around him when he was putting up those numbers. Who does he have now? I mean, Kendrick Bourne wants out. Kendrick Bourne sucks. I mean, Devontae Parker couldn't. You know, Devontae Parker was supposed to be our number one. He wound up being a number three and couldn't even get on the field. He wanted out of Miami. He's like a number three with New England, if you think about it. They have no speed on the outside. Hunter Henry is the leading wide receiver / tight end for that team. So is it really all on Mac Jones? Or is it how Belichick and now Bill O'Brien have built this offense around Mac Jones?
You know, I don't know. I looked at their lineup at the beginning of the year, and I said, you know, it's not a bad team. I actually thought they were going to be halfway decent, right? You got Stevenson in the backfield. They picked up Zeke. You know, he can help them in goal line situations okay. You got on the outside Bourne and Devontae Parker and Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Not bad. They picked up Gesicki from our Dolphins, who for whatever reason fell out of favor last year with Boy Wonder and Hunter Henry. I mean, that's not a bad on paper. That's a pretty good offensive lineup, Joe.
But it's no,
maybe they don't
no
have
speed.
That number one wide receiver, but
they don't,
you know, Parker and Schuster should be pretty good, right?
Yeah, but they're like, but that's the issue, Scott. They have a good wide receivers that if there were pure number ones around them, they would be complementary wide receivers. The problem with the New England Patriots is they have no Tyreek Hill. They have no Jalen Waddle. They have no Justin Jefferson or Stephon Diggs or Jamar Chase. That speed guy that can run off the second level of the defense to say, okay, then we can run it, because they're not stacking the box against Mac Jones. When you have pedestrian average speed wide receivers and wide receivers that for the most part, are at the end or in the middle towards the end, back nine of their careers, Schuster and Devontae Parker. You're not going to win games. You're certainly not going to beat the Dolphins in that type of situation. You're not going to beat Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs and outscore Buffalo in that type of ball game. And you know what? Up right now, you beat the Jets, but they don't have more speed than Garrett Wilson and those wide receivers of Allen Lazard right now. So that's on Belichick. That's on nobody else but him.
Yeah. Three takeaways on defense, though, only as well. You know, don't give them a pass. That's the fewest in the NFL. Three takeaways all season.
How could that be? How could that be?
I don't know. And their defense is pretty good, right? I mean, supposedly was last year. You know, it is again this year, halfway decent anyway. What a disgrace. You know, is he holding Joe?
Listen,
the guy's 71 years old, right? God bless him. He still wants to coach. But is he holding on to try and catch our guy, Don Shula? Because he's 28, I think it is, away. You know, even if he got three or four more this year, let's say five. Let's say he ends the season 24 away. That's two absolute great seasons. I mean, he's three, more likely 4 years away. I mean, unless he's coaching until he's 75, 76, he's not catching Shula. He you know, someone's got to sit him down and say, if that's why you're holding on, it's not going to happen, brother.
No. You know, and think about this. To your point as well. No takeaways, undisciplined, penalties and turnovers each and every week. Very untypical Bill Belichick. When you talk about Brady and you talk about how he built this team, they were disciplined, they had a game plan, they had a mindset, they had basically a physicality about them from an offense and a defensive perspective. That has completely gone away. This team looks lost. They have rookies playing on the offensive line, committing costly turnovers. Their defense can't stop anybody. And big picture, they might be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They might be right there with Arizona. Now, I know Kyler Murray is coming back off of IR, but right here, right now, they're not better than the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans have way much more talent with Stroud and those younger wide receivers than Bill Belichick and the Patriots right now. They're not better than the Colts. Even with Gardner Minshew there, the Colts are more consistent. They're more aggressive. So, again, I don't know what happens, but is tanking, or if they did have the number one overall pick in the draft, can Bill Belichick even, you know, bounce back with a player like Caleb Williams? Does he even know how at this point?
You can't even call it tanking either, because tanking means you're doing it on purpose. I don't even think they have to do it on purpose. You know, they played Buffalo two more times. You know, they haven't played them yet, so two times. They play Miami. They play Kansas City. They play at Pittsburgh. They're not winning any of those games. They play the Chargers, albeit at home. They're not winning that game. You know, there's a couple on there, Washington and Indianapolis at home, but you're realistically looking at, and maybe at Denver, you're looking at a three or four win tops, you know, the Patriot team. So
think about that, Scott. Think about that. At the start of the year, they were one of the most heavily bet with a win total of 7.5, but more importantly, to crack the playoffs this year. That they were right there. And we talk about the Giants. They are 85-1 right now to potentially win the AFC East. And if you're thinking like long shot, they're right above Denver, 160-1 to win the AFC. That is terrible.
Wow. Yeah.
Terrible,
that's
right?
Embarrassing, yeah.
Embarrassing.
And Caleb Williams.
Crazy.
Don't forget, Caleb Williams is a Dolphins fan, so I'm sure the last team he wants to go to is to New England.
Right.
Can you imagine that interview process? Hey, you want to come to New England? Hell no.
I saw the reports yesterday. I don't know why it got circulated, but a number of different outlets were saying that Caleb Williams wants ownership in equity in an NFL organization. Get real. If they didn't give it to Brady, if they didn't give it to Mahomes, that there's no way Caleb Williams is walking off the street and going to dictate those terms. So that could be a deal of potentially not even having an NFL team want or draft him in terms of next year's draft. I do want to break this because this came out about 5 hours ago with Schefter that Devontae Adams now is growing frustrated in regards to Las Vegas. I don't understand why. They do feed him the rock. The team is playing a little bit better. They do have a winnable game, 3-point favorites on the road to face the Bears. I mean, backup quarterback Badgett, I mean, he played at Shepherd's College. If you can't beat that, I mean, think about that. Even though I potentially like the Bears, it's a winnable game. If you're going to get rid of one of your best assets from an offensive perspective, what does that say in terms of the big picture for the Raiders this year?
Yeah. I mean, what a weird time for them, right? They're finally playing decent football. They've won their last two. Like you said, you got an obviously winnable game against the Bears. And then after that, the Lions and then the Jets and the Giants at home. So those are obviously winnable games. Why would he come up with this now? And you're right, Drew. They do. Listen, I got him on my fantasy team. Had him last year. They throw him the ball a ton. A ton. So, you know, they didn't this past week against Green Bay, and maybe he's still a little ticked off about that because he didn't get to show up.
But they won
the game. Yeah. So, you know, he's got 59 targets in six games. Jesus, that's 10, basically 10 targets a game. How much more do you want the freaking football, right? I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe this is a Derek Carr thing. You know, Derek's not really there, so he was going to give this team a shot. Now he sees Garoppolo hurt and not really great, and he says, you know what, get me out of here. Trade deadline's a week and a half. If I'm going to bitch, this would be the, you know, you don't want to bitch after the trade deadline, right? So now would be the time.
It's bizarre.
What could you get for him?
It really is bizarre. It's just, your team is now potentially, you know, trending towards a wild card appearance. You know, you like you said, if they were 6-3, in 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, who cares? You're trying to win an AFC championship. You're 60-1 to potentially, you know, steal that right now. You're not going to catch the Chiefs. We get that. But your big picture has to be get into the playoffs, and then I could potentially will this team. So, I don't understand it. The team mentality, as we know, has gone far and few between with star players. But at some point, when the team is winning and you're still producing, you have to like that type of recipe. Or am I missing something, Scotty?
I think he's just mad that Carr's not there, and he said he'd give this team a half a season, and he doesn't like what he sees so far.
We'll see. When we come back, we'll talk more NFL, sprinkle in some college right here on Football Full Circle. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Diving into the NFL, Scott and I were talking in regards to the Las Vegas Raiders and their star wide receiver, Devontae Adams, potentially being frustrated off of only catching two passes last week in the win over New England. And potentially, Scott and I talked about the trade deadline in the break and what it might mean for Devontae Adams potentially being, if possible, reunited with Derek Carr in New Orleans. And Scott, they're 21-1. To win the NFC right now. So, I mean, if it's possible and he's going to be more frustrated and he's going to not maybe play his best, Devontae Adams, and we'll see this weekend how he steps up against the Chicago Bears, is it worth to maybe make that bet? And I hate Dennis Allen. Like you said, he sucks in terms of a head coach. But if he does have Kamara and Derek Carr and Chris Olave, and now you sprinkle in and add an elite all-pro wide receiver with that defense, that might be the recipe to at least win the NFC championship.
I tell you what, that would be pretty good, right? You'd have to, how about just go from the trade standpoint? If you're the Saints, would you be willing to give up a number one and Chris Olave, who's really yet to distinguish himself, right?
Why would you get rid of Olave? You can't get rid of Olave if you want Adams. You got to try and keep him.
Well, then you're going to have Thomas, Olave, and Devontae Adams with Kamara in the backfield?
Yeah.
You have enough,
find
enough
a way
footballs
to get
go
it done.
Around?
Yeah, that would be the only way I would make the bet at 21-1. That would be the only way, as long as you can guarantee me Thomas, Olave, and Adams.
But if he's not getting the ball enough with the Raiders, with, you know, Jacoby Myers, he's definitely not going to be getting the ball that much more with the Saints, with those guys on offense, right? So but would he be just happy enough to be back with his buddy Derek Carr? I don't know, but, you know, I think the Raiders would say, we're going to throw you the ball a hell of a lot more than they will. So, and the other thing is, according to the rules, if you trade a guy, then you have to basically, it's like you cutting a guy. So whatever signing bonuses and everything else, then you got to do that with your salary cap. According to Spotrac, which is pretty good, his salary cap hit for this year would be $54 million if they got rid of him. It's only $14 wow. million now. So if those numbers are true, then it would be impossible to trade him. And so then you go to Derek and like, you know, or Devontae, and you say, what are you doing? You know, we you know, here it is. We can't get rid of you. Even if we hated you, we couldn't get rid of you. If we wanted right. to cut you and get nothing for you, we couldn't do it because you'd be a $54 million cap hit. No, you're going to be on this team this year or next year. And then after that, we'll talk.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Scott and I are going to go through every game on the board tomorrow in regards to Football Full Circle. We'll get you prepped and ready for the weekend action. So I want to touch on some other things, though. FanDuel does a fantastic job, and Scott and I have a lot of fun doing this. The weekly specials for Week 7 in the NFL, Scott. I'll throw a couple out there, and we'll see if we could find some value, okay? The one, and this is a good one. Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff to combine 500-plus passing yards. That's the front runner this week, plus 155 on FanDuel. Yes or no?
Baltimore, Detroit, okay, Rams, who are the Rams playing again? Rams are playing Pittsburgh.
Rams, Jared Goff is on Detroit.
Oh, Jared Goff, yeah, he had a line, right, right. What am I saying? I'm thinking Goff with the Rams. 500 yards total combined, I'm going to pass on that.
No, I like it, actually. I actually like it. I do, because I think, I don't think Lamar and Baltimore could go in the way they played that ball game in the second half. Lamar in the first half completed like 8 of 11 passes for 135 yards. All of a sudden, they went into the locker room, and John Harbaugh decided, you know what, we'll go a little more conservative, and all of a sudden, the game got tight. They stopped throwing the football, and they became one-dimensional. You cannot do that, especially when you talk about the front seven of Detroit, that is averaging, they're holding opposing offenses to less than 80 rushing yards per game. So you're not going to be able to just line it up and run it at will. It's going to have to be the passing attack. I could see Lamar getting in the area of 250 for this ball game. And Goff is completing 70% of his passes. The way Tannehill was hitting some big passes before he got hurt last week, why can't Jared Goff eat against the secondary?
Yeah, this is outdoors, not at home, not on the carpet. And Lions defense is pretty darn good, so I don't know if Lamar's going to throw for the two and change. And, you know, this has got, you know, 17-14 to me written all over it. It's not, you know, out of the question. You're never going to be out of the ballpark with only 500 yards, right? They're going to get some passing yards. But I would I want a little bit more than plus 155. I'm going to say no on that one.
All right, he's going to say no. I'll find something that does strike your fancy in terms of the weekly specials. I'll see what else I can come up with. What are you looking for? Give me a wheelhouse. I need to know. Will you like what, 10 to 1, 15 to 1? You like those?
Yeah, I like those. I like those.
Okay, you ready? 19 to 1. T.J. Watt and Aaron Donald to record 2-plus sacks each. So a total of 4. 2 each from each player. Watt and right. Donald.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all, right? 19 to 1 on that?
Yeah.
Low-scoring game, defensive struggle. They're not going to be throwing the ball, either team, probably that much, but still enough where I can get a couple of sacks. And you know how these statisticians are. You get a half a sack because both these main guys were just near the guy. So for 19 to 1, I think that's a pretty good value.
They're playing each other. Now, yeah. It's a, you know, right? So you got Stafford that's immobile. You got a second-year quarterback in Kenny Pickett. With Aaron Donald, I mean, he gets pressure up the front. It all depends. I like the L.A. Rams there. I believe they're the right side. I like the way they're playing, especially from an offensive perspective and cutback in that offense. You got to believe that the potential for Pittsburgh playing from behind, you can lead to some sacks with Aaron Donald maybe in the second half of that ballgame. So that's I like that too at 19-1. So that's not bad. Here's another one. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua to get 200-plus receiving yards, 3-1. Now, it was all Kupp last week, 113. I think Nacua finished with, like, 30. So they had 140 last week, if you think about it. Now they're going to get 200.
I do like that one. I know it's Pittsburgh. I get a good defense, but you might be able to throw on them. Kupp's good for 100. You know, the two games back, and he's already getting over 100 yards last week. I'm going to say last week was a blip on the radar screen with Nacua, meaning I still think he's going to be a major part of this offense. I don't think, you know, Stafford's just going to ignore him. You just can't. You know, last week, you know, it was a blowout game, basically. They were never really threatened with Arizona. So I think this week, a little bit more competitive game. And that, to me, means that both will get their share. 3-1, you know, again, you like a little higher than that, but I think you're going to get, you know, maybe 110, 120 out of Kupp, and then maybe you'll get your, you know, 80 out of Nacua, and it just goes over the number.
Yeah, I think it gets there too. 3-1, and we saw Las Vegas abuse that secondary with Jimmy Garoppolo when they played on the Monday night, so there's no reason to think that Stafford can't eat against that secondary. I don't think Pittsburgh's defense is as elite as people think. I know why is dominant, but outside of that, they give up a ton of yards, especially in the back end. You just have to attack them. So we'll see how that game plays out. There's going to be more weekly specials tomorrow. We'll get you those as the week and as the day progresses for tomorrow. We'll sprinkle them in throughout the show. But I do want to transition to college football because we do have two big games. The big one, obviously, in the Big Ten, Scotty, we have Ohio State and Penn State. Ohio State, a 4.5-point favorite. And then the big one in the SEC, Alabama, an 8.5-point home favorite over Tennessee. Now, you know I'm a big Penn State guy, but this line scares me a little bit when I looked at it. You know, Penn State has done a dominant job and a fantastic job of covering numbers, but we haven't seen James Franklin break through just yet. I'm not going to bet this game, but I have to be honest, if I did, I think I would lean to the Buckeyes, even though I'm sitting on a Penn State Big Ten ticket.
Well, you'd be going against yourself, obviously.
It's crazy.
You know, I'm not in love with Ohio State. Just not. Still not in love with their offense. You're right, Penn State. You know, there is. I was telling this to Ben. There is definitely a tier, right? Or maybe it was on the podcast of a lot of conferences, but especially in the Big Ten. You know, until you beat Michigan or Ohio State, you're never gonna be in there. You're not. Those are on the top two tiers or top tier. Then you got Penn State, Iowa. Hey, you want to throw Wisconsin in there? That's the next tier. You know, then you have you know, all the others at maybe a Purdue, Maryland now, you know, and then you have the lower rungs, sadly, are Nebraska Cornhuskers and Rutgers and all those.
They're fighting for bowl contention. Don't bury Nebraska just yet. They're 3-3.
The quarterback stinks. Until it happens, you know, I generally bet against it, but I like Penn State plus the points. They'll find a way to lose, I imagine, but I think they keep it within the 4.5.
So let me just say this.
Ohio State offense.
All right, let me just add this. It might be an in-game bet for me, okay, because Penn State has been catching double digits throughout this series. Last year it was 13.5, 14. They had the lead with about 8 minutes left, and then all of a sudden you blink and they were down 19 points before Sean Clifford had a backdoor that ball game with a late touchdown. He imploded in the fourth quarter. 2 years ago in Columbus, they were catching 19.5, 20, lost that ball game by 9. And 3 years ago was a very close ball game as well, but they just don't find ways to potentially close the door. So catching 4.5, if they fall behind, let's say 10-3 or 14-3 in terms of that, you're going to be getting double digits again. So, you know, that might be a way to attack it in terms of that perspective. So just something to think about when you're playing the game in terms of Saturday, you know, for college football. The other game, when you look at Alabama and Tennessee, we saw Tennessee break the string last year. Dynamic performance with Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt. Now they go on the road to Tuscaloosa. You saw Jalen Milroe inconsistent last week, build a huge first half lead against Arkansas and basically on life support in the second half. They do not cover as a 20.5 point home favorite. Tennessee dominates Texas A&M. The win, the cover by 7 over Jimbo, that absolutely was atrocious, terrible. We could get to him in another show. But I like Tennessee here. I don't know if they'll win, but I think the rushing attack and the tempo of Heupel will have them inside the 8.5 point number.
I like that as well. You know, maybe it's just like because Alabama's just, you know, clearly not Alabama this year. Right? They're just not. Barely beating Arkansas last week. You know, they have a bunch of one-score wins, unimpressive victories against South Florida, even Ole Miss. And Ole Miss really kind of screwed that game. So you want to give me over a touchdown with Tennessee. Huge game, monster game. I get all that. Alabama never loses to Tennessee. But that's, to me, too big of a spread. Tough spot going back-to-back, Tennessee. Against, you know, A&M last week and now Alabama, but I'll take my hunch that Alabama offensive line over under on offside penalties, I think, is 150 in Vegas. Good gravy. Yeah. I've never seen a team jump.
Allowed. 31 sacks allowed. Scotty.
And they jump off sides. Every other play, there's a penalty against Alabama's offensive line. It's amazing.
Yeah, and think about this for Alabama. Missed the college football playoff last year. They lose it this game to Tennessee. They're out. Is the potential dynasty over for Nick Saban? We'll come back. We'll wrap it up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
And we're back, wrapping up today's show. It always flies when Scott and I talk college and pro football. We left off talking about the two big games in terms of the Big Ten and the SEC, respectively. Scott, I don't know if you knew this, but FanDuel also puts out weekly specials for college football. So I'll throw a couple of big ones out there for you. 32-1. Each Big 12 team to score one touchdown plus a field goal. Only Saturday action. Are you jumping into that? Big 12, every game, a touchdown and a field goal from every team.
What's the odds on that? 12-1?
32-1.
Oh, 32-1. Big 12. Anything 32-1, I'm all in on, right? We did a touchdown and a field goal
from everybody.
Every team.
Right. So I'll throw a couple of Big 12 games. So you got UCF.
I got them here.
UCF and Oklahoma. Are you taking that?
Yeah, I like that one. I would think that would be the only one I'd be a little worried with would be Houston because they could get blown out by Texas. So they're not gonna
but Donovan Smith beat them last year with Texas Tech. I feel like they're playing with a little house money. I do. I like that. Here's another one. I'll give you another one. 50-1.
I like that one, though. Okay.
All right. Each Big 12 team. I don't know. It says to score one plus touchdown and one plus field goal, 50-1.
That's the difference.
Excuse me. That is the 50-1. The 32-1 is field goals only.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, field goals in college, little different, you know.
Yeah,
but
trust
boy,
kickers in college. I don't.
Yeah. I don't either.
Shaky, but I like that at 50-1.
Yeah, I would do both. I'd take my chances.
Here's
if they're
going to
get the field goal, you know they're going to get the touchdown.
Yep.
Real quick, go ahead.
Each Pac-12 team to score one plus rushing touchdown plus 380. For Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Danny Ohlers, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow breaking down every NFL game. The money line up next with Donnie and Kevin.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.